go with me to Mark chapter 5 from the Amplified Bible. Mark chapter 5. Mark 5. And we'll read from verses 1 to verse 20. Usually I was going to teach on being a missionary servant leader. I was going to carry on, but I feel to share this today. Mark chapter 5 from verses 1 to 20, reading from the Amplified Bible. Before I do that, can I say this? Because of this corona something, somebody said something to me that I want, because people are so terrified and afraid of it. You don't have to. You go to the shops and everything is empty. Let me read something to you so that you have a better perspective, so that all fears will be abated. In 2000, they said that we are going to die when we hit 2000. It didn't happen. In 2001, they said anthrax is going to kill all of us. It didn't happen. In 2002, they said the West Nile virus is going to kill us all. It didn't happen. In 2003, SARS was said was going to kill all of us. 2005, the bird flu was said was going to kill all of us. 2006, E. coli was going to kill us all. 2008, the bad economy was going to kill all of us. 2009, the swine flu was going to kill us all. 2010, when the BP oil, there were issues with petroleum, they said we're all going to what? Life was going to grind to what? A standstill. In 2012, they said the Mayan calendar said we're all going to die. In 2013, it was being touted that North Korea is going to kill all of us. In 2014, the Ebola virus was going to kill us all. And in 2015, Disney measles and ISIS were going to kill all of us. In 2016, the Zika virus was going to kill us all. Now 2020, the coronavirus, COVID-19, is going to kill us all. But what really is killing us is your TV that you watch through my channel, listening to wrong news. It won't kill us. We will not die. Amen.
Amen.
Suffice, however, to say that it doesn't mean that you become what? Careless. You understand? So whatever the scientists are advising you to do, do it. Simply wash your hands as much as what? Possible. And if you don't want, you can go to Africa or the Caribbean where the sun is, because that virus cannot stay long in the sun. So it's up to you. Amen.
Amen.
But don't worry about being killed. Amen. That is very important. Hallelujah. If God is going, but the interesting thing I will say is this. Something small happens and the whole world seems to grind to a standstill. It shows you how fragile humans are. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you are very fragile. All you don't know. Calm down. Take off your pride. Let your pride calm down. Something small. Then you find the whole world is shaking. Something small. It tells you and I that, look, life is very, very fragile. Don't be too proud. And in fact, very soon, God is going to shake Europe. This is nothing. There will be a great shaking in Europe. The whole nations will fear and run to God. There is something more momentous coming you have no idea of. God will do whatever he will do to turn many to Christ. He will. There will be a great shaking. There will be a mighty earthquake in this country that will cause men to cry for God. Because as long as mammon seems to be Lord in this country, nobody cares. They don't want to know. But I can tell you that there will be a great shaking. It will not be coronavirus, but one that is from above. God said, as long as I live, I will shake the heavens and the earth. And then the nations shall come to me. So that will happen. Amen. So that is for the corona thing. Is that okay? Now let me get to my message for today. Mark chapter 5, from verses 1. They came to the other side of the sea, to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And the man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with chains. For he had often been bound with shackles and with chains, and he tore apart the chains and broke the shackles into pieces. And no one was strong enough to subdue or tame him. Night and day he was constantly screaming and shrieking among the tombs and on the mountains, and cutting himself with sharp stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him in homage, and screaming with a loud voice, he said, "What business do we have in common with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me." For Jesus had been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." He was asking him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he began begging him repeatedly not to send him out of the region. Now there was a large herd of pigs grazing there on the mountain. And the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, so that we may go into them." Jesus gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs. The herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea, and they were drowned, one after the other, in the sea. The herdsmen tending the pigs ran away and reported it in the city and in the country. And the people came to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, clothed in his right mind, the man who had previously had the legion of demons, and they were frightened. Those who had seen it described it in detail to the people, what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and told them all about the pigs. Not about the man that was healed, about the pigs. So the people began to beg Jesus to leave their region. As he was stepping into the boat, the Gentile, or the man who had been demon-possessed, was begging him, asking that he might go with him as a disciple. Jesus did not let him come, but instead he said to him, "Go home to your family and tell them all the great things that the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So he obeyed and went away and began to publicly proclaim in Decapolis, the region of the Hellenistic cities, all the great things that Jesus had done for him, and all the people were astonished. You can find the same story in Matthew and in Luke with some slight variations. I want to begin by saying this. This story of this man who was full of demons is not a unique situation. It's still happening today. There's somebody here today that also demons are tormenting. That's why God wants me to bring this message. And I'm going to give you about 12 lessons from this and describe to you when demons are controlling your life, how it appears, and then show you the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ, how you can be delivered today if you want to, just like this man was delivered from his oppression. Anybody who says that demons do not oppress people today, they do not know what they are saying. Today we call it all kinds of names. We try to use politically correct terms. I'm not sure, Chichi, what the names are used now. They say don't insult anybody. They call it mental illness, schizophrenic, what? All kinds of bipolar disorder, personality maladies. All of this was what the man was suffering. Demons have taken such total control of this man that he has lost his dignity. He has lost who he was. He was living in tombs. By the way, when they said he was living in tombs, it's not that the tombs we have in St. George's, behind St. George's. The Jews, when they build tombs, they dig into the mountainside. They dig holes. Remember Lazarus? So when they dig holes, you can go in there. God gave them specifications. So you can go in there like a cave and live there. So when the Bible says he was living in tombs, get that picture. It wasn't as if he was lying on slabs in the graveyard next to you. They were in tombs. Are you okay here? Now, go with me to Romans chapter 6, verse 16. How come this man was so under the dominion of demons? I want to read two scriptures to you that if you give demons the chance, they will rule your life, Christian or not Christian. Are we here?
Yes.
Romans chapter 6, verse 16 says, do you not know if you continually surrender yourself to anyone to do his will, you are the slave of him who you obey, whether it be to sin that leads to death. To whomever you yield yourself to, you become a slave to. Whatever you've yielded yourself to, you are a slave to it. To drugs, to alcohol, to greed, to sex, to pleasure. You are a slave to it. You can't control yourself. There's a force that if you yield your will, it will take total control over you. This man, for whatever reason, has yielded himself and demon. By the way, when the Bible says, can you just imagine one man? When they ask his name, what is your name? You know what the man said? My name is what? Legion. Do you understand what the legion is? Legion were a Roman, you know, we have infantry, battalions, yes, give me some, squadrons and so forth. Legion was a Roman military force of total of at least 6,000. Can you imagine 6,000 demons entering one man? One person, 6,000 demons. You have got only two, you are crying. But when demons take total control over you, you become like this man. You become mad. You become crazy. You become to have, you begin to have some form of supernatural strength that even the Bible says, no man could what? Control him. I will come to that place. No amount of counseling, no amount of drugs that Dr. Chichi may prescribe can set that person free. No amount of any help of sympathy can deliver somebody under demonic influence. It takes Jesus to come on the scene. And Jesus is here today to set that person free. Jesus is the only one who can deliver. Nothing else can set you free. Nobody can deliver you when you are in that state. Only Jesus can make the difference. Being a child of God by submitting himself, demons have totally taken control over him. I want to give you some significant facts concerning the characteristics that this man was showing. Number one, the Bible said that an unclean spirit had entered into him. Which means this, when an unclean spirit rules a person, the person becomes mad in attitude and behavior. Will you agree with me that this man was mad? Here in this country, they try and keep them. Once in a while, you see some. But you can see somebody in a nice suit, but they are mad. Oh, I didn't get any amen there. You can see them working in the city, but they are mad. It's not only those who are in asylum that are mad. As I go through, you will discover that. Hello? He had an unclean spirit. He had a vile spirit. If you cannot control your sexual appetite, you are mad. It's a madness. I'm not getting good amen here. It's a sign that there's a demon controlling your life. Say it's a sign. Yes, it's a sign. And the Bible says he lived in cemeteries. It means that this man has lost his human dignity. There are people out there, or people you know, who you know, they've lost their dignity and self-respect. They have become an outcast to society. You see them at times on the street. It's a demon. It's demons that control people like that. I'm not sure if it is in this country or so that I've seen before. I think it's here. Somewhere in Brixton. I saw this man dressed in a lady's clothes in panties with a, what is it again? Bra. It's a demon. No amount of drugs will set that woman free. Or that man. I don't know whether it's a man or a woman. But it's a sign. You lose your dignity. You lose your self-worth. Are you here today? Even though you are looking shiny, inside of you, you know you have no dignity. Inside of you, you feel ashamed of yourself and of who you are. Are you here? And then the Bible says he was alone in the tombs. Say alone. You know what that means? There are people who have got alone attitude. Especially you, the young people. They try and what? Seclude themselves and just go to their rooms and be playing with social media all the time. It's a sign that demons are going to. I'm giving you signs. You may think it's natural, but it's not what? Natural. The Bible says he was alone in the tombs. A spirit of a lone attitude, withdrawing from reality. You know, people withdraw from reality. Hello? And from the outside world. Many times they are being set up by the devil to commit acts of what? Rejection, and even they get so depressed they want to commit suicide. Have you been there before? They get so separated. They are so bombarded. They feel that life is not what? Worth living. I better take my life. It will surprise you the amount of people who go under sanctions from the city. You forget that when sanctions are being said, you think that it's just quote unquote poor people, but people who are what? Wealthy are in the state. It's demonized. Don't give them Prozac, it won't help them. What else do you give them, Chichi? What kind of medication do you give such people to try and solve it? You can take them to all the counseling and everything. It will not be solved. Because what is the fundamental issue is that they are what? Demonized. They are oppressed by what? Demons. And I can tell you that there are some Christians sitting here who are demonized as well. Don't shout too much hallelujah. But I'm telling you the truth. As you go on, you will see. Whenever you find that you want to separate yourself from people, you want to be alone, it's a sign that something is wrong. Because it's not normal. Can I get an amen? Amen. And the Bible said that this, Luke doesn't mention it, but in Matthew, he said that the man became a terror. He was so fierce and so violent that nobody could pass through that place. Do you know that at times your life is a terror to others? Are you a terror to your family? Even a terror to your own self. When your family members see you, they begin to become a bit what? Very careful. You can be a terror in finance. You've been borrowing money so much. When they see you, they want to say they want to hide. You become a terrorist concerning borrowing money. Oh. Then when family members see your phone call, they don't want to answer. True or not true? The man was a terror. He was so violent, nobody could pass through where he was. Because if you do, he will what? Attack you. He has supernatural what? Strength. The demons have you seen some people who are crazy? They seem to have extraordinary ability to do certain things. Not good things, so bad things. It's a sign that demons are what? Energizing them. Your anger is so fierce that nobody wants to come close to you. You have an anger problem. It is so fierce and so wild. When you take it easy. You know some people have got that. Have you seen that before? Very wild. When it comes upon them, the whole house, everything must go down. True or not true? You find them taking the TV and throwing the TV like a frisbee. In the end, they're going to have to go and buy another one. It's a sign that there's a demon working in you. If you like, don't mind and keep on throwing TV. All your money will be going towards... You destroy and then you what? Is it not madness? You destroy what you bought and then you go and buy again. Then you destroy and then you go and buy. Is that not madness? But you think you're okay because you're in suit. The man, the Bible also says this. This was very, no man could restrain him. No man could bind him. This was a man that was so wild. You couldn't tame him with drugs. You couldn't tame him in a, what is that, a mental place in a Tooting or somewhere there? Is it still there? Springfield. Have you seen Springfield curing anybody before? They just try to what? Manage the demon. You can't manage demons with drugs and operations. They need to be what? Cast out. And only Jesus has the power to cast the thing out. You find some people, they love, they are in marriage. But one of them have got such a demonized attitude, is destroying their marriage all the time. Do you know somebody like that? Don't raise your hands. They love, but the thing is not because one has got an attitude, and the person even doesn't like it, but they still exhibit that attitude week in, week out, month after month. True or not true? As I'm saying this, the Holy Spirit will be telling some of you here, you've got that demon in your life, whether Christian or not Christian. And today, if you will do certain things this Monday, you can go square free, amen. Totally free. That thing is going to leave you. Or you can acclimatize and say, this is my weakness, and stroke that demon. It's your choice. It's my choice. Hallelujah. And then the Bible says this, He was constantly crying. Constantly crying. You know what the Lord told me as I was preparing it? There are people who are crying inside with regret. You are constantly crying when you are alone with regret. You are crying because there's pain inside of you. Pain that nobody sees outside, but inside of you, there's pain, inner turmoil inside of you. You are crying. You know, the man was crying for what? Deliverance. So who will save me? Who will help me? Nobody knows what I'm going through. I need help. The man constantly was crying day and night, screaming for help. And let me tell you a secret. What I didn't tell you was this. In chapter 4 of Mark, Jesus, after doing some miracles, told the disciples, let's sit in the boat. I have to go to the other side. He did not tell them why. Because the cry of this man had come to Jesus. The yearning of this man to be free, the desire of this man to be free, had reached him. Because the Bible says immediately they got out of the boat. Who was the first person to come and meet them? This demonic man came out of the tomb and met Christ. Are you here crying for deliverance? Are you here crying that you are fed up with your sinful life? Are you fed up that your life is taking you nowhere? You are confused. You are tormented. Today, if you will cry, Jesus Christ will come to you alone. Look at that. The interesting, well, after Jesus attacked that man, he left and went. That should tell you how important that man was. I said, you need to help me here with this. Okay. It means that that man has something inside of him so yearning, so crying, that he needed a savior and a deliverer. Are we here? And Jesus heard his cry. For example, some people are crying for their family mess. Some people are crying because they find their existence doesn't matter. You may be here, you think you existence, you've been trying, you've been hiding it, you've been using different things to cover it. But inside of you, there's a lot of pain. There's pain inside of you. You will not let anybody see it. You put what fronts when you meet people. But inside of you, there's no satisfaction. There's no wholeness. There's confusion. And you are crying. I want to tell you today, Jesus is here. Amen. Jesus Christ is here. He's here to bring deliverance, freedom of all the pain, of the regret, and the confusion. Thank God, Jesus did not ask the man, you did this and your grandfather did this and this. He didn't care. All he came to do was that he has heard the cry of somebody and he needed to set that person free. Today, if you also will cry, or all the cries you've been crying over the years, today, say today, today, if you will, he will set you free. Amen. And the Bible said the man was also inflicting pain on himself. Self what? Harm. He was cutting himself. Trying to commit suicide, trying to do all kinds of things. You know, a lot of people have self-imposed what? Harm on themselves. Behavioral attitudes, mindset, that is harming you. That is destroying your relationship. Self-harming. One of the most important things was that he was piercing himself. Like some people have what? Diseases or sicknesses or what? Eating disorders. They want to be slim, like me. So they try to keep on when they eat, do what? What they call bulimia, eh? Put their hand and go and vomit. It's called self-what? Harm. Self-harm, they will sit in front of the TV and tell me, bring me the crisps, bring me the cheese, bring me the burger, bring me the KFC. They just self-harm. And there are people sitting here, Christians, who are self-harming themselves. Behaviors and attitude that is destroying you. Nobody is causing by you yourself. Please, when you see people like that, have mercy upon them. Because you have no idea the demons that is influencing and behind the scenes doing these things. And then the Bible also says that this man was naked. He had been naked for, in fact, the Bible says he has suffered this for a long time. Say a long time. It wasn't a short period. He was naked. You know what that means? Nakedness means that this man had no what? No dignity. It means that you are exposed. And today there are plenty nakedness going on. People are not ashamed anymore. Now the people even want to marry dogs now. It's a sign of what? Shame. Lack of dignity. I can use nakedness to explain so many things. Even today, dressing, you find Christians no kind of any self-respect for themselves. They will dress anyway, anyhow, and say that is how the world dresses. I see some dressing as madness. That's my opinion. You don't have to. Hello, I'm talking about Christians. I saw a Christian leading worship with all his trousers torn. I said, are you mad? If you want to do that in your home, don't come and stand here and do that to us. It's madness. You find people wearing trousers and the thing is at their bum. You think it's normal? I'm asking you, Jesus, normal. What you don't realize that there are demons behind such things. You dress in a small spot that nobody should see except your husband or your wife. I'm not having amen now here. I said, I'm not having any amen here now. It's nakedness. Why do you have to expose your breast? Am I your husband? Is the whole world your husband? They say, if you are not selling, then cover it up. It's a sign. And Christians cannot even discern that. Go to churches and see. They are even worse than the world. Are we here? It's a sign that you have taken the spirit of the world unto yourself. See, that is how the world is. You are preaching the law. I'm not preaching the law. I'm preaching the spirit. Bible says he was naked. Shame. You are here. You feel ashamed. Not even because of clothes, but you are ashamed of yourself. You cannot be always. You have to pretend. It's a sign. I said it's a sign. You don't like yourself. Say, I like me. Like yourself. You are what you are. You can't change yourself. Hallelujah. If you are black, you are black. If you are white, you are white. If you are Asian, you can't change it. You cannot do a Michael Jackson. You are what you are. Just accept it and be so. And be grateful to the Lord. Amen. He was naked. Walking up. Can you just, do you want to be naked? No. Even just physical nakedness. Just imagine emotional nakedness. Psychological nakedness. The man had no inhibition. He has lost all inhibition. And this is very evident in society today. All inhibitions are being lost in today's society. True or not true? All kinds of inhibitions are being lost. You find people wearing... I was going to use a term that you don't understand. If you go... Oh, Lord have mercy. People going on marches with all kinds of clothing. True or not true? And you find Christians jumping as well. It's madness. You can't even discern what spirit is controlling such things. I'm giving you signs that a person is demonized. I'm giving you a sign that a person is influenced and oppressed by demons. And it can affect Christians as well. Are we here? Yes. Amen. Yes. We are coming soon to the close. Don't worry. Then the Bible says this. He saw Jesus. Say he saw Jesus. I like that. What I felt in my spirit was this. When Jesus landed on the shore, it appeared a floodlight had shone in the whole region. The man knew that all my cries for the years, a light has appeared to bring me back my dignity, to bring me back my self-worth, to bring me back to being a human again, with purity, with goodness, with excellence. He saw a light, and the light was Jesus Christ. He said, I am the light of the world. He ran to the light. And that is what I like so much. The human spirit is so strong that even the demons could not keep this man from going to Jesus. No matter what demons are afflicting your life, they are not so strong to stop you from running to Christ. When you see the light today, run to that light. Don't I'm not the light. No pastor is the light. The light is the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw the light. And when he saw the light, he said, this is my deliverer. This is my hope. This is my joy. I'll get back my dignity. Only this one can give it to me. And the Bible says he ran. And he prostrated on before Christ. He fell down. And Jesus started saying, come out of him. You know what the demon said? it tells me that the demons are afraid of Jesus. Jesus is the key. They recognize him as the sovereign Lord. They recognize him as the master of all, as the one with all power. They say, Jesus, have you come here to torment us before our time? It means that a day is coming, every demon will be tormented. It means that you can torment demons. They've been tormenting you for many years. Tormenting with confusion, with poverty, with degradation and dehumanizing attitudes and behavior. Today, the tables can turn.
Amen.
They say, Jesus, Jesus, are you coming to torment us? Our time is not yet. It means that demons are afraid of Christ. If you have Christ in you, every demon that you meet, they must be afraid of you. Every demon in your house, every demon in your workplace, when they see the Christ in you, they have to bow. The Bible says they started engaging Jesus. Jesus asked them, what is your name? And the demon man said, we are called Legion. There are 6,000 of us inside one man. Inside one man. And they say, Jesus, we beg you. You got the power. We beg you. The demons in you will beg today.
Amen.
We beg you, Jesus. Don't cast us out into the abyss. We don't want to go far. This is our area, our territory. We like dwelling here. That's why you find some families, there are demons in the family. You find that the demons don't want to leave. You find certain attitudes, certain behaviors in certain families. Sicknesses, poverty, confusion. You can see it. It's a demon, a territorial demon. They like to stay in that family. Confusion. They beg Jesus, please, Jesus, don't cast us out into the abyss. And the Bible says they saw some pigs. Say pigs. And say, Jesus, we beg you, can you please command us to go into the pigs? At least, if we will not get human what? Abode, we will do with what? Animals. By the way, that tells you that demons like to inhabit what? Humans. Do you know why demons like to inhabit human beings? Humans, demons are disembodied what? Spirits. The only way they can exhibit themselves, they have to enter a human being and show that characteristics. So you know that people have got all kinds of problems. Give me some of the problems. I don't want to mention anybody if it's offended. Quick. Don't mention yours. Mention somebody else's one. Alcoholism, drugs, pornography. Yes, you can't stop it. Pornography is taking hold of you. Anger. People have gotten them. And it's there. There's more. You are not saying it. Plenty more. Laziness, stealing, greed, lying. Some people can lie, and their lie is truth to them. You see, they lie, and you see their face. They lie, they think it's true. Have you met someone like that before? And if you are not discerning, you think they are telling you the truth? It's a spirit, a lying devil. They have it. I've dealt with mine. Have you dealt with yours? Everybody has got some in them. If you like, check your family line. You see something in your family you don't like. You can see uncle so, grandfather so, mother so, and brother so. You can see the thing there. And it's coming to you. You better stop it. You can even see traces of it. These things, I think, they enter the DNA. They enter. So when you are, it's in your genes, it's in your sperms, it's in the egg. When you give birth, you find a child without any of this, it begins to behave a certain way. Then they'll say this, he's like his grandmother. Have you heard that before? He's like his grandfather. Where do you think he came from? It's a spirit. So please, don't think only this demoniac, that this was an extreme case. So he saw the light. And then Jesus said, what is your name? You must know the demons that are afflicting your life. Some people even don't know. In fact, some people have just acclimatized or they have embraced those demons as normal. It is not normal. God did not create you like that. And Jesus said, I give you what? Permission. Go. Immediately the demons entered the pigs. You saw what happened? The pigs, all of them rushed and drowned in the sea. That should tell, listen to me carefully, that gives you an indication. All the time, the demons of 6,000 have been trying to kill this man, but they couldn't kill him. Look, if your spirit is strong, that's why the man was crying. Who will deliver me? Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Whilst on others thou art calling, hear my humble cry, come and help me. Jesus heard it across the sea and told the disciples, I have to go to the other side, that I can hear a certain cry for deliverance. The demon, you know what pigs also stands for? Pigs are unclean spirits. Don't live a pig life. Don't leave the crumbs. You know, pigs, they are the vacuum cleaners of the earth. I haven't said don't eat pork. If you want to eat pork, it's your business. Hallelujah. You sanctify it and you can enjoy it. But on the natural level, they are not very good meat. You know that. But you can, it's up to you. Some people like pork. Some people are getting after you. Eat your pork. I've not said don't eat your pork. I went to a wedding the other day. After they brought a big skewer like this with loads of meat. You take one, then big, big meat like that. So I asked, what meat is that? They say pork. I said, thank you. The rest of them you can enjoy. It doesn't mean that if you eat pork, you have sinned or anything like that. It doesn't mean that. But to the Jewish mind, pork was an what? An unclean meat. So that's why Jesus said you don't have any issue, what? Casting them, the demons, into what? The pigs. Then something interesting happened. Immediately the demons entered the... By the way, if you say you don't want the demons then enter, what happened to the pigs? The fish will what? Eat them. So if you eat fish, you may have some demons. So the demons, there was transference of spirit. You know, the thing was just going to the shark, to the fish, to the bass, sea bass, you know, fish and chips. So don't get caught up with all of these things. You can eat pig. It's up to you. You are okay to eat. You won't go to hell. Amen. But the interesting thing I like is this. Jesus heals a man. He told the demons, come out. What I'm telling you today is that the only thing that will set you free is Jesus Christ. He alone can identify and cast out that evil spirit tormenting your life, tormenting your family. Because he is the only one. No person can do it. No amount of sleeping drugs can do it. You can sleep. When you wake up, the demons say, I'm so here. Hello? By the way, something, a story came to me. I want to just warn. Should you want me to share that story? Demons are real. There was a story, true story, it happened recently, where it doesn't happen every day, but once in a while it happens. A man went to sleep with somebody's wife. Say somebody's wife. Not knowing that the husband of the wife had done some black magic. Say black magic. Yes. Juju. Obia. Occultic powers. That if you sleep with my wife, you touch her. There are small boys and girls here, so I was speaking. And you are enjoying. When you finish, you can't come apart. So they got finished whatever business they were doing. They couldn't what? They couldn't come apart. True story. And then you know what? So there were people who want to go and pick them up and take them to the hospital to do whatever. Then all of a sudden, a huge cobra appeared and sat on the bed. So if you like, come. Because they were waiting for the husband to come to release the cobra. I'm telling somebody here now, watch out. Oh, the place is going very quiet now. I said, tell your neighbor, watch out. Watch out. Watch out. You don't know which cobra will appear. You don't know. Do you know that somebody told me a story? I'm just telling you certain things that happen. One of the ways for transference of spirit, these demons transfer, is through sex. I know one nice lady. He said, since I slept with that man, my life has never been the same before. You be a nice person. Nathaniel, yeah? You'll never have sex before you marry. Say amen. Say another amen. Amen. One more one.
Amen.
Wonderful. You don't want to go sleep around. Because as a nice man, you go and sleep with somebody. All the demons in the person enter into you. And all of a sudden, you start behaving funny. Your parents say, this is not our son. What is happening to him? It's a warning for somebody here. Catherine, you are hearing me. Catherine, where are you? No degree pokery before you marry. You don't want to contaminate and take some spirits onto your life. Some people do it, nothing happens to them. But you alone, you try it once, your whole life is finished. So you don't know whether you are the one or you don't know. Let's carry on. Then the people told Jesus, by the way, what I like is this. Jesus will take the devil's castaways. Jesus will take the most messed up person, the person everybody has rejected. He would take a filthy life and beautify it. Amen. He would take a nobody and make their life glorious. That is my Jesus. You may be here. Everybody has rejected you. Christ hasn't rejected you yet. Your life will be bright and it will be great. If God is still saying that I love you, if God was so merciful and compassionate to travel all the way and meet only one person so demonized, it tells you how my God loves you. This story for me is about the compassion of Christ. How God loved us so much. He would do anything to come and meet us at the point of our need. Only Jesus would do that. Human beings would throw us off. You are nobody. You are finished. Don't write your soul that no more. You don't exist anymore. We've cast that family member out. But Jesus is not finished with the person. If only that person will call upon the Lord. The Bible said the man, when they came, was in this nice suit. Not just any suit, no. Giorgio Armani. He's never worn it for years. Nice Gucci shoes. Hallelujah. In his sound mind, talking to Jesus. Only Jesus can do that. Which medical institution can do that? No medical institution can do that. Only Jesus can bring you to back to order in your mind. Beautify your life gloriously. Set you free. Deliver you from drugs, from sex addiction, from alcohol addiction, from confusion. He can beautify your life. And now, the interesting thing was this. The man told Jesus, I want to be one of your disciples. You know, once I was like this, look at me today. Once I was naked, look at me in Giorgio Armani. Once I was rejected, now I'm accepted. I want to be one of your disciples. Jesus said, don't worry. No. Before I come to that, let me say something. Some people like their pigs more than human beings. Instead of the people in the city, in the gathering, coming to celebrate the man who has been terrorizing them for years, and say, praise the Lord, oh, single, thank God. They say, Jesus, get out of here. They did not care. You know, some people care more about their money than a human being. Some people care more about their business than human beings. Because the people, their livelihood was the pigs. Once again, it tells you that God is more interested in one human soul than all the business in the world. For what shall it profit a man if he loses his soul and gains the whole world? It tells that one human being, my brother, is more important than all the wealth in this world. You are more important to God than all the money in this world. Yes. But human beings like their commercial activities more than human beings. Even in church. Some people are more interested how they look more than their brother and sister in church. Jesus put value. He put value on one soul. The people said, you are coming to spoil our business here. You spoil one business already. If we let you remain here, all the business here will collapse. Clear off. And I like God. If you reject God, say, he won't fight you. Say, okay, thank you very much. Jesus just went. Today, if you reject Christ, he will say, no problem. I came to save you. I came to help you. But you rejected me. Thank you very much. By the time will come the consequences, you cannot avoid it. Are we here? And then Jesus told the man, you cannot, this is where it comes to being a missionary. Jesus said this, you don't have to come and follow me. The people will listen to you more than they will listen to me. So go to the Decapolis and tell your family, tell your friends how the Lord has had compassion on you. Go and tell them. And the Bible said, this man who was a reject, who was a nobody, who was desperately in the grip of Satan, became one of the greatest evangelists, preaching to the 10 cities, turning the whole city to Jesus. Jesus saw an evangelist in them. People saw madness. Today, Jesus sees you as an evangelist, a missionary. Will you travel anywhere to get somebody saved? Jesus is saying that I need your hands, your feet, and your mouth. A family member needs you. A friend needs you. You come and tell them the good news that Jesus saves. Jesus delivers. Jesus helps people. Say, I cannot help you, but I know a man. His name is Jesus. He will help you. Shall we stand?